The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Nautical Mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
He has ascended. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the ear. My eardrum is broken. Jesus is on the air.
That was great, Dr. Palmer.
Thank you, Dr. Schiffo.
That was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Schiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
What would you do if you couldn't say that?
I don't know.
What would you do?
When we get more stations,
I didn't mean in terms of the radio show. What could you do if you said you couldn't say you love Jesus?
Oh, that would be devastating.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
Yes, I love my wife, and I tell everybody I love my wife. And I love Jesus, and I want to tell everybody I love Jesus.
Yeah, well, that's good.
You know, you're a psychologist. I don't know. I don't know if what I want to tell you everything, you know? I don't know.
I'm a psychiatrist who looks on Eucharist as Prozac.
Yeah. You're right. What an idea.
It's the best healer for your spiritual DNA.
Palmer.
I'm unloaded with stuff today, buddy. I'm loaded.
Watch out. Trevor, get the duct tape. We're not going to shut him up. Okay, let's introduce our guests. We got a great show going on here.
Well, we have guests.
All right, so we got Carlos, and we have Nada. Am I saying that right?
Nadi.
And they're from the...
And they're married, the poor things, and they have 8 children. Oh, my God. What kind of evangelizers could they possibly be?
Nadi has a great story to tell us. And where are you from, Carlos? What are you doing?
Okay. My name is Carlos Diaz. I'm married with Nati. We have 8 children, and we have 3 in heaven.
Yes, 3 in heaven, too.
3 in heaven.
Yeah, 3 miscarriages.
Yes, 3 miscarriage. But we have, you know, an angels. Yes. Receive for us.
I have a couple I wouldn't mind sending there now. I'm sorry.
Be careful, doctor.
He's looking at me. I don't know.
Not angel yet.
You're in the process.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm original from El Salvador. I'm 40 years old. And I'm here to share a little bit of my experience. When I was 6 years old, in the civil war that my country was suffering, my father got killed.
And your father was killed?
Yes. Oh, and sorry. I have two more brothers and 1 sister. And I remember, well, the little things that I remember at that time, that I see the suffering that my mother feels and my older brothers. So I grew up with a lot of anger in my heart, and, you know, thinking, you know, that is no God. Mm-hmm. Thinking, if he's a God, what kind of God is this that he took a 6 years old boy father, you know? And I got very rebellious. All my life was very rebellious. Against my mom, against my brothers and sisters. I'm the last one. So I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to do anything. Just go out with my friends and everything. But through this event that occurred in our lives, my mother, one day, she used to go every first Friday of the month to Mass. And she heard these announcements that I say, if you suffering, if you you don't understand, you know, why things happen in your life, come to listen to this good news. And my mother did. My mother went to listen to this catechesis, and this catechesis changed completely her life, because she understood why, you know, why the reason that my father, passed away. And thanks to that, now we all back in the church. And but, you know, regarding my story, so I got very rebellious. When I was 15 years old, I didn't want to continue at school. I want to go to work because I thought that money will give me the answer that you know, I was looking for my whole life. So I started working at a very young age. And when I was 17, I started working in a hotel as a waiter. Okay, and I started learning how to drink, how to smoke, and how to party, and that was all my life. When I was 18, I took the decision to come to the state because I thought, you know, that I'm going to be free here and I'm going to be a millionaire because I want to pursue my American dream.
Mm-hmm. And we're all millionaires.
And we all have American dreams.
So when I was 18, I took the decision and I came to the States by myself. I didn't, you know, I took the decision and I came. I remember I was, you know, just a teenager when I took that decision. I came to LA. I stayed in Los Angeles for 6 months. Didn't like it because I still was with my family down there. So I had a friend in New York, and this friend brought me here. But when I came here, this friend disappeared.
Oh.
Exactly.
Literally?
Literally. I mean...
No, really. I mean, disappeared.
Exactly. I mean, but, you know, in the way that, you know, that it was not a support, you know, for a person who didn't know the country and nothing. But, you know, I start working and I start making money and thinking that money will fulfill, you know, everything. And I got so wrong until the point that one day I was passing a very difficult crisis in my life. You know, after, this is after like probably 10 years in this country, that I didn't want to know anything about church. I didn't want to know anything about God. And that morning, I remember that I was passing. I was not married with Nadia at that time. I, you know, I was in such a bad crisis, and I was in my room, and I say, "Oh my God, what I'm gonna do? You know, I don't have any answer for my life. I'm being here for 10 years and I don't know what to do." Because inside of me, I know the answer was come back to the church, but I didn't want to accept this. So I call my brother who lives in Maryland and I say, "Please find me, you know, a catechesis of the new catechumenal way in my parish." But I thought he never would call me.
Keep going.
And, you know, my surprise was that 15 minutes later, he called me. And I used to live in East Meadow. And he said to me, "Listen, there is some catechesis going on in Freeport, New York. I don't know where Freeport is." I say, "My goodness, Freeport is 10 minutes away from me." At that time, Monsignor Figliosi, who's my pastor now, he opened the new catechumenal way in Freeport. He used to be the pastor over there. So I went to listen to this catechesis, and this catechesis completely changed my life, completely in all the dimensions, because this person who was very proud, who was struggling with the meaning of his life, now I find the meaning of my life. I see that God allows all these events in my life for me to see him as a father, for me to see that I don't have an earthly father, but I have two in heaven. One, the creator of me, and the one who is my procreator, watch over me. And this helped me through all my life. First, to understand all this, you know, for me to see that life doesn't come from my efforts. Life doesn't come from money. You know, that the life come from Jesus, from Christ risen. And I entered to the church again. I start walking in this community. And, you know, after a while, we fall in love, me and Nari. You know, she was...
You missed what she just said. She said, maybe you did, but yeah. I didn't.
Okay, I want to hear what she's going to say.
He misinterpreted what she said.
Exactly, I know.
Dr.
Palmer, come on. And, you know, after a while, you know, we come from a broken marriage, you know, because she had three kids from her first relationship, and I have two from my first relationship. And when we got married, you know, we already have five children out of nowhere.
And
three of them was already a teenagers. Can you imagine? Wow.
And so, psychologists call that blended families. Let me tell you, from my experience, they don't blend.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And believe me, it was like if you live in a zoo. Because, oh, my Lord. But, you know, at the beginning was a very, you know, we feel a lot of struggles and a lot of temptation sometimes to abandon this. But, you know, through the grace of God, you know, everything set up now, because we already one daughter's with her boyfriend. She have a little son, so she's on her own, and we have four more teenagers who still living with us. You know, who's only one that is, you know, up and down in the church, but the rest they in the church.
Yeah, they in the community. Ask a person at that time, do you have insurance? I'd be glad to.
No insurance,
right.
In the bottom of all this, I see that God was acting in my life the whole time. Even though that I didn't feel that, you know, he was present, he was. He was like Abraham. Mm-hmm. Abraham for many years after the call that he received from God, he didn't feel the presence of God until God appeared again and promised him, you know, this, and he make the covenant with him that he's going to have the child that he always want. And this is, you know, more or less me. You know, I didn't feel through all my years, I didn't feel the presence of God, but God was present in my life.
Can you explain what you mean by feeling the presence of God? It's very hard, but if you can.
Because, you know, through all my suffering, you know, I always thought, what kind of God allowed this? Yeah. Why I have to suffer if he's a God of love? But now I understand that in suffering, God is there also.
Mm. He lifts you up.
Absolutely.
He's there. Exactly. And believe me, that helps me a lot. I'm not saying that I'm the perfect guy. No, I'm still a sinner and a big sinner. But now I recognize that the only one who can always forgive me, that the one who always bring me back to life again is Christ.
Yeah. So, Carlos, how has he really touched you? How has he communicated with you?
Okay. Like I say, I belong to the neocatechumenal way. And in the
neocatechumenal
way.
Okay.
And this is a way of Christian initiation, baptismal, you know, to revive our baptism.
Rediscover
our baptism. And, you know, this helped me a lot, because Christian life is based on a tripod, you know, that is liturgy, word, and community. And in this community, we rediscover this. And, you know, this helped me a lot because, you know, I I've been walking for 11 years. And through the liturgy of the word, through the Eucharist, through the sacraments, I rediscovered this. I discovered the presence of God, you know?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's absolutely.
As you were telling your story, I relate very much to what you said because I was 9 when my father died. And I ended up finally feeling adopted by God the Father. You know, which I think is what you said.
Exactly, but you know, like I say, it took me very long time, and God took me to the hard way to understand this, because I thought, you know, like, oh my goodness, there is no justice in this world, there is no love, but I was wrong because through, like I say, through the sacraments, you know, God did a completely different meaning in my life. You know, give a completely different meaning in my life. So now it's...
God turned your life around.
100%.
So he had a plan for you.
He has a plan for me.
And he planted you into that plan, and that's the neo-catechism.
Neo-catechumenal way, correct.
And so that was his plan for you all this while, I think.
Exactly. You know, something that my mother said to me last year, she said to me, you know, Carlos, your dad was the martyr that God used for me to come to church. Mm-hmm. And that touched me very much because I never saw this. I never saw that my dad was the martyr, and that's why we're here in church now, you know? So, and I know, like, certainly that God used this for us to come back to church.
And Natty, how did you ever get into this? There's this character that's been talking.
To the big trouble.
Who fell in love with you.
Yes. My story is, you know, when I was little, you know, we were always go to church. I come from very good Catholic people. You know, my grandparents, they were people that somehow I saw that God was, you know, with us. But growing up, then my parents got divorced. So for me, that was like, I don't understand this, you know, because such a beautiful family with 6 children, you know, and all over the sun, everything is kind of destroyed. You know, it's like if it's, you have a beautiful house, and all over the sun, there's a hurricane or something, and you had nothing. So for me, this was something that at that moment, I couldn't understand. And so I started to grow up a resentment against my father, because I was like, how can this man do this? Leave a woman with 6 children alone. And he will not take care of us. You know, then my mother family had to take care of us. And he will remember us once in a while. So I became very angry, you know. And I didn't understand anything. I thought I loved my father. But then I realized, because then my life changed, you know. I thought I was a very good person, you know, because I respect my mother. I was, you know, helping my mother. So, you know, this was in Dominican Republic, you know. So when I finished, you know, my high school there, I say, you know, I couldn't pay for my college. So I say, well, I have to go to United States because I had to help my family. You know, they were all younger than me and there was really no future. So, you know, I came.
You were the oldest,
and he's the youngest.
Oh my God.
So you can see that.
What a nice combination.
How opposite we are, and how the miracle of God, because it's only through his
love,
you know, and mercy that we are here today. And so, you know, when I came here, you know, I kind of, you know, let my father know that I was mad. You know, I was that I was not happy. And my father could never give me an answer. I was like, but what is going on? You know, I always ask him, why you did this? But he was, you know, he was here alone, and we all were there. So, you know, he didn't really have a, let's say, like a good faith foundation, you know, to really believe that he could still keep his family. But that's another, you know, another thing, and that's from my father's side. But the point is, you know, that because of that, I didn't believe in marriage anymore. And I say to myself, I'm not getting married.
Do you know how many people who are married don't believe in marriage?
You're talking to psychologists.
She still did.
But the thing with me was that I got like a divorce with the church, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't believe in marriage. I started, you know, cohabitating with this man, you know, and I feel like I was the happiest person because I didn't want to commit. Nobody was going to be my boss, you know, nobody was going to tell me what to do. I wanted to be free. I wanted to do whatever I want with my life because, like Carlos said, you know, now I know that in a sense I will make justice for myself because this situation brought me a lot of suffering, so I deserve to be happy. You know, mm-hmm. What am I going to do? I was partying every night. I was living this free life where nobody can tell me what to do because at the end, I don't have a father who can tell me, you know, my father could not tell me anything because I would not, you know, listen to him. For me, he was not anymore my father. So this is a very, you know, how do you say, like, you are...
terrible.
You know, you are kind of lost. You know, you don't...
That's a good word.
You don't know anything in life. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. And the thing
you
that we
learned... abandoned?
Yeah, we're learning now is mm-hmm. that in a sense, you
forsaken.
Know... The thing is that when people, you know, experience death, you know, experience sin, you know, we literally die. So we keep living, but we don't have life inside anymore. And then you try to gain life for anything that you can find. From affection, from money, you know, you become workaholic, you know, you try drug, you try everything that you think is going to fulfill you because inside you already have no life. So this is what happened to me, you know. Then I tried to find happiness, you know, outside because I don't have, you know, now I was living with this man that was a relationship completely crazy, you know, where there was nothing there. And little by little, I'm discovering that I'm unhappy at the end. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yes.
So then what happened was, you know, that I came to this country, then all my brothers and sisters came. Then my mother, who gave her life for us, is alone there. So for me, it was like amazing because my mother never wanted to leave us. She never wanted to come here. She always wanted to stay with her children. But then, you know, we all came and we were having the life of our time. All her
the time
children.
Of, the time the of life, our life.
The, you know?
I like we it were better the all, other way, the life of the time, right?
We were all doing whatever we want, you know? And when my mother came, she was like, what is going on with you guys? What are you doing? And we were like, Mom, we're happy. And my mom was like, I don't believe this is happening. I mean, we were not going to church. Everybody was dating and cohabitating. And we were fine. And then she was like, no, this is not right. You know, then she came and she was like, she was not a happy person. I was like, wow, we got to do something because my mom... In the sense, she always showed that she was happy to have her children around. She didn't care about anything else. She was happy. And then to come here and she was not happy, even though we were there, I say something is happening. So I told all my brothers and sisters, we have to go back to church because something is wrong. I don't know what it is, you know. And in this thing, you know, I always try to go back to church, you know, but something I couldn't keep up. You know, I try. I even say maybe the Catholic Church is not the truth. Who can tell me that this is the truth? Maybe I should go to a different church and see what else, you know, mm-hmm. because I would go to Mass and it didn't tell me anything. You know, I would go to Mass and I would go in. I mean, not to say that this is this is not the truth. I mean, it is, but I try, you know. And I would go, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't keep up. I couldn't, nothing changed in my life. So I was, you know, when she came, you know, that we all went to church, you know, there was this prayer group in the church, and we all went. And after that night, then I stayed forever.
Wow, that's the neo, is that the neo?
That was not the neo catechumenal way. It was just a prayer group in the church, you know?
Wow. You know, it's funny, though. Carlos had God the Father. You know who you had in your mother? Mary.
Right. Yeah. No, Mary. I was going to tell you this.
Good.
Yes.
Because, you know, the thing was, this is very important, you know, because I always... Carlos had God the Father. I always had God the Father. But you know what happened to my life? I took Mary out of my life. Because when I was little, we would pray the rosary every night in my house. Every night. And I remember when I learned to pray, I was the proud girl. I was like, wow, I can pray this prayer. I was so happy that I memorized it. So, but then, you know, when I was... maybe 13, 14, my aunt, she became evangelical. And then she said, I was always the kind of person that likes the church. You know, I would young teach religion, you know, and I always be in the course, always in there. And then she said to me, well, Nari, you know, I think you have a calling from God and this and that, but repetition prayer is not good. And then I was like, maybe she's right. So after that, I never prayed the rosary again. I mean, I prayed, but I was confused. I was like, I don't know if this is right or wrong, you know? So then I stopped praying, you know? And I was telling, you know, I tell Carlos, I tell everybody, you know, that really coming back to church for me had to do with Mary, you know, because it was very simple. You know, I used to go to the prayer group, and I would pray, but I say in my heart, I don't believe in this. Because, you know, somehow that word really, see the power of the word? This word that she say, this is not right, I was really like, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something that God doesn't want, you know? So I was like, no, maybe this is not right. But when my mother came back, she came back with a rosary again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She came back with a rosary, and then she said, come and pray the rosary, you know? And I was like, I really don't believe, but I'm going to pray to make her happy, you see? So Mary got me there, you know? Mm-hmm. She got me there because then the next week I went to a retreat, and I saw a picture of the Virgin of Medjugorje.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw this picture, just like that, I say, this is the most... How can somebody be so beautiful? That's what I say when I saw this picture, and I was like, wow. After that, you know, I told Carlo that I kind of, you know, in the prayer with the Blessed Sacrament, I kind of, you know, saw that I did a big mistake in my life. I separate Mary and Jesus, and you cannot do that.
No, you can't.
You
no
cannot
Mary,
do
no
that.
Mary, no Jesus.
And I really saw that so clear that I say, forgive me what I have done in my life. Yeah. You cannot do this. Where's Mary is Jesus. And if you don't believe this, I'm sorry. But where's Mary is Jesus, and where's Jesus is Mary. You cannot do that.
Right.
So after this, you know, the Holy Spirit started working in my life. I start praying. I would say to everybody, pray to Mary. Pray to Mary, you know, because she's real. She can help you with the family, with everything. So, you know, that's...
You know, there's nothing worse than a Reformed Mary Holic.
You're right. It doesn't help. So,
and I want to add one other thing. From a psychological point of view, this is psychology, right?
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Repeating the prayer, the Hail Mary, becomes a mantra.
Yes.
And during that time, evil can't get into you.
Right. Oh,
so
definitely.
You close it out.
That's right. The devil, you know, he doesn't want us to,
no.
us to pray that, because look what happened.
Absolutely.
He's got to take a hike.
But the yes. rosary is the biggest weapon.
The yes. biggest the, weapon.
Outside you know, of the Eucharist.
The biggest, the Eucharist. Yes, the biggest weapon. You're right.
See, we have the Eucharist as Prozac and Mary as a mantra.
Now,
what yes. more do we need?
Now, yes. now, I just want to warn you, be careful, because sometimes he sends a bill. Next day you
it's
may
dangerous.
Get a bill. If you get a bill, send it to me.
Okay. You're the one in trouble.
And we have two other people who
yes,
have joined us.
Came in.
Jose and Adele Lemus.
Yeah.
And we're going to get their stories in a few minutes. Yeah. Okay? But finish up that.
Okay. So, so you know, then I, you know, after this, you know, my spirit was awakened, and then all that I wanted in my life was to come back to church, to go back to the sacraments, you know, to go back to the, you know, all the sacraments, because I didn't believe in any sacrament anymore. I thought that the, you know, I would say that the priests only want the money. That's why they baptize the children, you know, and I wasn't going to give them money. And things like that, you know, I was, oh, very away from. But, you know, my conversion a little bit, I compare it with St. Paul a little bit. He threw me off the horse. He threw me off the horse, and he was like, this is it. Enough of your nonsense life. Enough of you stubbornness, because God was always calling me, I didn't want to listen, you know, And he, I love this thing of God that they say, you know, that God leaves us free. He leaves us, he let us commit, you know, sins. He let us go astray from him. And just to show us that he always loves us, you know, that he's always there. That he's not like us, you know, that we do something and right away vengeance, you know, and revenge, and then you're going to pay me for this. But that he showed me, you know, when I woke up and I saw that God loves me, still everything that I did, I was like, this is impossible. Nobody can love me right now. And it took me a while to believe that God is so good. My God, when you guys had no idea, I mean, like my life, I cannot tell you this time, but all that I did, when I saw that, I was like, today I'm sleeping and then now I'm awake and seeing life completely different. Like, wow, how is it this guy love me? When I knew that God loves me, that he always loves me, even though I was committing the horrible thing in my life, that he loves me. That's got to be somebody special in life.
Because
let me tell
you
one something. Not even my mother, I know my mother will give her life for me, but not even my mother would love me when I was doing the thing that I was doing.
And he did that. He gave his life for all of us.
I mean, when I heard this word, this is why I'm so happy to be here in the radio today. Because that somebody here, that God loves you just the way you are, it can change your life.
Yes, it can.
Absolutely.
And we can stop saying this. You know, we can stop. I'm so surprised to be in the radio. So I'm like, okay, where are you taking us? What is going on? You know, because we never thought. I mean, you know, but now we can't stop saying this. You know, we can't. We have to tell this. And look at us. We go. We give catechesis. We spend, you know, anything. We go here, we go there, because people need to hear this. And I'm so happy that you're doing this, you know, this radio station. And because a little thing, you know, little thing, if you touch one life, you did your job.
One life a month is our
even
motto.
If it's in our whole entire life that somebody will be touched, because, you know, we can say today, you know, God loves you. Come on, you know. He can help you in the situation that you have today, that you have no life, that you have no meaning, that where is God? Does he exist? And we can tell somebody, yes, he exists, because I was suffering like you had no idea. I try everything. You know, I try many different things to be happy. I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't do it. And you know, after this, you know, that I am back in church and everything, I'm back in church and fine, you know, but I say...
And the roof isn't caving in on you. Yeah, you're welcome.
That's right, you know, and you know, in this situation, then I say, you know, but it's got to be something else. You know, I was, and this is when the new catechumenal way came in my life. Like Carlos said, you know, I was in the church in our Holy Redeemer in Freeport, and I was teaching CCD. I was, you know, doing anything I could in the church, you know, because I want to give God back what he gave me, you know. And then, so when I heard the announcement in the church, you know, I was like, well, this is not really for me, because they say if it is, you're suffering. I was happy at that time. And I thought, because if you forgive him for God, what else you want? So, you know, but I heard, and then they gave a testimony. You know, this woman said she had 7 kids with C-section, you know, and I was like, wow, I never heard of that. So you're always looking for something that, you know, like to see people with faith, you know, and I was looking for this. I mean, like, I see, you know, we talk about a lot about in the new catechumenal way, you know, to make Christian, you know, Christian, not to be just Catholic, to go to Sunday Mass, you know, but to be Christian, that my life can radiate all the people, you know? So this is what I was looking for. I
and
say,
that's
we
what you're doing.
That's what we, you know, and then I came to the group, and it really, then it was like, wow, this is it, you know? This is what I want. I really want that, because I grew up, you know, with my grandparents that I knew that they were Christian people. They was just not Catholic, and that saved my life, you know, that.
But, you know, your story and Carlos's story is repeated in so many of our listeners' lives, where they've done the things that you guys have done, and God came in and got a hold of them and said, pick up your spiritual mat and walk in my love. Yeah. That's different than just pick up and walk physically. Pick up my spiritual mat in you and walk.
This is what the church is doing.
The good news is that those listeners that God hasn't done that to yet is still going to be approached by them.
And Maddie, we have two other people who showed up.
Yeah, we have two other guests that came in while we were talking.
And this is testimony time, I guess, if you want to talk about it.
Try to get it all in. If not, we'll do another show.
Oh, yeah, we would. Yeah. We would very
Maybe
easily.
Next week.
Very easily. We could do that, too.
Maybe next week. You want to come back next week? Yes.
But because I don't want to do short shift on anybody. Well,
you know,
because
these
stories, these testimonies are so
powerful.
Valuable.
I can't imagine how many souls you two guys touched today. And I know you two are going to touch souls, too. Well, maybe we ought to do a quick one and then talk about next week.
Well, you know, I the way I get a sense, we could have them back every week.
They could just or better yet, they could replace us.
That's right.
Do their own show.
Jose.
Okay, Jose.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the new catechumenal way and really what God is doing in
and
your
how
life.
It changed your life.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to...
How do you say your last name? Lemus?
Lemus, yes.
Okay.
Lemus, right?
Yes. And I'm married with Adela, and we have 3 kids and 3 in heaven.
Did you fall in love with him at the same time he fell in love with you? Because we had a controversy with the first couple.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jose.
He precipitated the controversy. Don't listen to Palmer.
So, and we're expecting now one more, so, you know.
Oh, congratulations.
It's a very risky, but we put in God's hands, so,
that's
you know.
It.
And I'm born in the Catholic family, too. We were 12 brothers and sisters.
Oh, boy, that's real Catholic.
Yes. Yeah, actually, my dad and my mother did because of that, you know, because they were very religious. And I'm the number 11, so I was the spoiled one because the other one was a girl. And, you know, moms always with, you know. So I grew up in a very poor family, you know. I remember I wore shoes until I was like 8 years old, you know. When I went to the school, I used to, I didn't have a regular backpack, you know. But so this situation, right? I didn't know what's going on in my life, but somehow I didn't accept this in my life, you know, to be poor, to see the my dad's worries, and to see all my brothers I started working like 8 years old, selling tomatoes and onions on the street.
What country are you from?
El Salvador.
Okay. El Salvador.
Yes. And then...
I know them well. And I know the name too, by the way. Lamus.
Yeah.
A lot of people that name Lamus.
Maybe there are too many already. Yeah. So I find that this, right? And then when I was like 12 years old, I have a regular job, we can say, right? So I have money in my pocket. And I try to please myself because I see all this suffering. I didn't understand why I was so poor. And so I try to alienate myself in many things. So I start doing many stupidities. And then one of them was, I start go to the prostitutes. And I start have a very corrupt life, using people because I thought that I deserved the other people to love me, because I didn't feel love, mm-hmm. because I didn't have money, and at that time I was thinking that if I have money, everybody's gonna love me, and it wasn't true. Mm. So
I know that I have so much, and I'm so unloved.
and because because of the affections of my friends, so then I start making more stupidities. And then because if somebody drink a beer, I want to drink two, so they can say that I'm, I'm cool. And then I used to get drunk my 13, 14 years old. Until one day, I hear about this news, right? And I was a little confused about this Virgin Mary, too, because I have too many Protestant friends, and they always talk about bad things about that. And I always go to my dad, and I say, why they say this and that about Virgin Mary? And he always give me an answer, But the poison was already there.
Yep.
So when I hear this good news, right, I thought that I'm gonna change because about my own effort, try like a moralist, to try, and didn't happen, And until one day, just I hear a word from the catechism and say, the only thing you have to do is to walk, We base the catechism in a way, in three things: the liturgy of the word, the Eucharist, and the community, which is once a month. And then I start doing this,
because what else do you need?
and then I stop thinking about to do good things in my effort, because sometimes somehow the Lord wants to tell me that he is the one, not me, not myself, so I start hearing and I start hearing. And I was telling Carlos not too long ago, I was telling, is really good. This yesterday we were reading the gospel of the to born again, because many things in my life I say I don't want to change it because I like it. I like to do the bad stuff.
I would never say that.
That's what I was saying, because I was like this blind man, this blind man in the gospel who born blind, and he don't know what light is, And somehow the word start working in my life, mm-hmm. and start giving me some this kind of light, so that I can see who really I am,
You said yes.
And then when I saw myself and I say, what a wrecking man, what a mess I am. Wow. And then when I see this in my life, so I can see also the love of God in my life.
Amen.
Because then I say, I did too many wrong things to too many people. And God, instead to punish me, he called me in a community where he can express the love that he has for me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't believe before in marriage. I don't want one woman in my life before,
mm-hmm.
Because that was the world was telling me all the time. I was completely blind. And so I came with, at that time she was my girlfriend. I invited her to the catechesis. And then she liked it, she started walking. But this mentality was like a so like a tattoo in my heart, right? So I was thinking, you know, many wrong things, but somehow this start changing, you know. And little by little, the Lord is doing marvelous things in me. We've been married for, we've been together for 12 years almost, all right? And we've been married for 6 years already. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this life that I have now, even though we have persecution, it's always suffering, I can tell you this is the best life that I ever have. Yeah. You know?
You see what God does, and I see it all the time in myself and in others. We have our own mind about what we want and who we are and what we think. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, would you like to change some of that? So he helps us to put on his mind. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he changes something else, and we start feeling happy in little tiny ways. And you say yes, you go to the catechumenal, neo-catechumenal prayer group, mm-hmm. and you're changed. I have the same thing. You know, but that's phenomenal. I'm so happy you're happy. You know?
So imagine, after I gotta do very parenthesis on this, because, you know, Virgin Mary touched me what Nadi was saying about Virgin Mary, because, you know, I have this disease in my heart, right, about Virgin Mary. So before I came here, I know his Carlos' brother. I don't even know Carlos exists. At that time. Yes.
And are you happy that he exists now?
I'm happy now.
Just figured I'd ask.
Yeah. So what happened was, you know, at that time, his brother was coming to this country. And at that time, he was the boss in the job that I used to have. And I this guy I respected a lot, and I have some feeling like and I know that he was in the neo-catechumenal way at the time. So when he come here, we make a party for him, and I bring him a present, and the present was the icon of the Virgin Mary.
Oh.
So I give it to him, that icon, and when they start the community, he asks his mother. They don't have the icon of the Virgin Mary for the community. I wasn't here yet. And the mother says, yeah, I have one, because his brother couldn't take it, the icon, so he gave it to his mother. And then his mother bring it to him.
Huh?
Wow.
And then when I come here...
So Mary snuck in.
Go ahead. So when I came here, I looking for these communities, right? Because I know what is going on in my life, and I know how weak I am, and I know that I need the word of God in my life every day. So
do we. Everybody does.
Absolutely.
Even Trevor does.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to share something with you right away. Uh-oh. I just got a text from a very good listener of ours that listens to every show, and he's a big critic of ours. And he says, your guests definitely had a great testimony from the heart, real, honest, I love them. That was from a listener. Our biggest critic, I mean.
That's that?
Nick? Yeah. Thanks be to God. Yeah. And so when I didn't know what's going on at this time, right? So we worked for like about a year, and then he baptized his kid. Mm. When he baptized his kid, so I met his brother. And I was so happy that I met, and then we start realizing all that stuff. And I say, all this time, Virgin Mary has been with me, you know? And then as this love start growing up, and I start discovering many things in my life where Virgin Mary is always been, you know?
That's a wonderful discovery.
Yes, oh. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Man, oh. You can't put a price on that.
Absolutely.
And then now, you know, after we met Mary with Adela, we were saying about this thing that to be open to life. Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? You know, because I come from a 12-year brothers and sister, and we were very poor, and I suffered a lot, and then the devil started, right?
Yeah.
And then we try to talk about this with priests. We try to talk about this with the catechists. And then first kid come, Camila. She's 8 years old. And in the middle of this situation, then Elias come, you know, after six.
Congratulations.
After 6 months. And we keep on saying, you know, I mean, maybe we can wait 5 years, maybe we can, you know. And
saying, if you want to make God laugh, make plans.
Yes, exactly. That is a good one. So then, in the persecution. Yes, and then the persecution, right? Because all the family, all the everybody around us, you know, you crazy, you gotta make money, and then after Elias, she start getting a little sick. After Elias, well, until we read Humanis Vitae, and then we understand many things in our life, and we see, you know, that we see that it's not up to us, you know, that we are co-creators. Yeah. We are not the one who give life. And then we say, yes, we're going to be open to life. And then we lost the first one. God went to heaven. And then how is this? How is these things happen? You know, when you say yes to the Lord, then persecution will start.
Yeah.
And then Camila, Sarah come, right? Then she get pregnant again.
Yes, I lost two. After comes Sarah.
Yes, she lost two before Sarah. And with Sarah was a very, very difficult situation because she ended up in a wheelchair. Because in that time, we discovered that she has five hernial discs and the sciatic nerve, really bad sciatic. The doctors, she ended up in the wheelchair, a lot of suffering, a lot of tears, but a lot of God blessing too. So because of that, I start love her even more.
Oh, you're making me cry. I just got another text from somebody else.
But I want to tell people about your crying. He's a Marine who cries at exit signs.
The text I just got from my wife, who's our biggest critic. And she says, great guest, I love them. And so that's got to say something about you guys.
Well, if Joni can love you, she can love anybody.
Thank you, hon.
Listen, we got to squeeze Adele in as well.
Yeah.
So just move up a little closer. Yeah. And
we only got 5 minutes left.
So what?
We'll have him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would try to be fast, you know. Well, my name is Adela Limus.
You don't have to be fast.
No, you don't have to.
Take your time.
Talk slow. Because we're having you back anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, when I was 7 years old, I was abused. And this fact in my life happened twice. And, you know, this fact brought to my life a lot of emptiness, you know, a lot of anger.
Pain.
And, you know, I started after 8 years old, you know, I started to be anxious, you know, with depression, and close to myself. You know, I never speak with anybody. You know, and I was a happy child, you know. After that, I started to grow up in a Catholic school. You know, and I went to the church, but because my parents, my family, and in the school told me to go, you know, but I didn't mean it. I didn't feel it, you know, like this fulfilled something in me. After that, you know, when I was 11 years old, another fact, you know, that marked my life, it was adultery, you know, by the side of my parents. And this, you know, brought more anger in me, you know, so more unhappiness. And I cannot see God anywhere because for whatever I see, it was a suffering. So I thought that God doesn't exist. You know, that God, you know, probably exists, but take care of everybody, not me, you know. And I started to feel this feeling, you know, that nobody, you know, cared for me. So I decided to to study, you know, when I was a teenager for to be a lawyer, because I want to make justice. Because, you know, I want to punish everybody.
Get even.
Even though if you have fault or not, you have to pay me, you know? No. And I started, you know, to see that this anger is not was anger anymore. It was hate. Mm-hmm. You know, I started to hate everybody. Everybody, you know, I was very mean, very sarcastic, you know, yes, I still.
You what? You still is? Oh, your friend is saying you still are.
Thanks God, you know, I listen to this word. God loves me the way that I am, you know. So after that, you know, I started to work and to study for to be a lawyer. I studied in a college that it was a Catholic college. And I worked for another college, you know, because I cannot study in the same college because we have to do with the notes, with the qualification of the students. So in that time, in that process, I met Jose. You know, in that time, you know, was my friend after my boyfriend. And the thing is, you know, I never went out with a boy because of the feeling, because I don't wanna anybody close to me. Because
of the abuse.
Exactly, because I don't wanna be hurt again. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was, at the same time, it was like a fear, you know. And Jose started, you know, to call me, you know, to get close to me and invite me to these catechesis. And I went, you know, and at the beginning it was only for to please Jose. Only, you know, because he asked me to. But one time, you know, I listened a song in the neo-catechumenal way, you know, Lord, don't pass, but I beg you. And at that time I was pretty bad, you know, with a lot. Every 3 months, every 6 months, I have to go to the hospital, you know, by a week, with a crisis of nerves, with anxiety, with depression, with many things. You know, and the doctor told me, you know, girl, you're not going to fulfill 30 years old if you continue like that, because I take a lot of medication for depression. And I listened to this song, you know, and I remember that I cry, and I...
We have only 2 minutes.
Okay, so
but
after...
that doesn't mean that we're stopping. It means you're coming back. That's what it means. And if you want to bring another person or two, because I think your stories are phenomenal. Oh. Because you're talking about real life and being abandoned and abused and hurt and angry at God. And he comes in and gives you the world's biggest hug. And he says, I love you. Don't you understand?
And he loved you so much, he stretched out his hands.
Yeah, but also he comes inside. He fills that emptiness.
And you know what? When you see this in the community, because we, in the small community, everybody knows who we are.
Yeah.
And because we know our weakness, so we know we love each other. You know, right. And the dimension of the cross, because we know all this, the history of everybody, all of us, and then Jesus Christ comes out from this, you know.
Absolutely.
Only I want to say one thing more, you know.
Go ahead, hurry up, squeeze it in.
All this bitterness, you know, that I was in my heart, all this anger, you know, and I want to say this, you know, because it's helped me a lot every day, you know, that the Lord has the power, you know, to change every situation that we have, every emptiness, in transforming this bitterness in sweetness, you know, and to see us like we are real son of God, you know.
Absolutely.
To be continued, listeners.
This will be
to be continued.
We assure you.
Come back next week. Yeah. We work it out.
Yeah, we'll work it out. We're going to go out to dinner.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The following show is an encore presentation.